You're listening to a sermon from Pastor Kevin Wellborn of Highland Baptist Church in Clovis, New Mexico. Now, here's Pastor Kevin.
If you have your Bibles, or of course there's access to one there in the seat close to you, in front of you, around you, turn to the book of Jude. The book of Jude, just one chapter, the last book of the Bible except for the book of the Revelation. And before we get into the message this morning, let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for today. We thank you for the good things that have already happened. Thank you for the time of worship. Thank you for John and the praise team leading us, Lord, in spirit and in truth. God, and I pray that right now that everything that we would do from this point forward would continue to honor you. If there's anything in us this morning that would grieve the Holy Spirit, I pray that now becomes a time of confession. Lord, we would give you full control of the next few minutes. We come this morning to lift the name of Jesus high. And that's it. God, you are the Ancient of Days. You are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And only in you do we have hope. So, in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. Amen. Jude, verse 24. Jude 24 and 25 this morning. Pretty well-known passage of Scripture. The Bible says this in Jude, verse 24. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, and now, and forever. Amen. Now, I'll get all these emotions in check in a minute, but how many of you remember the movie when Ronald Reagan, before he was President Ronald Reagan, when he was Hollywood actor Ronald Reagan, played the Gipper? Anybody seen that one? Anybody? Okay, just a few of you, okay. Did y'all know Ronald Reagan before he was the President of the United States? He was an actor. Y'all knew that, right? Okay, do you know who Ronald Reagan is, youngsters? Okay, all right. When I was born, Jimmy Carter had about a month left in office, and then it was Ronald Reagan. So the first president I remember was President Reagan. But in the movie, it's based on a true story. In 1928, I believe it was, Notre Dame was playing Army, the West Point Academy in football. And back then, of course, those were two of, if not the two major powerhouses in all of college football. And the first half was not going well for Notre Dame. And then Newt Rockne, the legendary Notre Dame coach, gave them an inspiring speech to get them out there in the second half and to take on the cadets from West Point. And he ended the speech with a story that the Gipper, okay, true to life, he was a running back for the team. Right before he passed away, he told Coach Rockne, he said, whenever it looks tough, whenever things get dark, tell the boys to win one for the Gipper. And so Newt Rockne gives him that speech, and the story goes, and of course, it's true, and then I think it was in the movie as well. I've never actually seen the movie myself. But they go out and they play a phenomenal second half, win the football game. Okay, if you've ever been a part of any kind of sports team, you've heard those halftime, those inspiring speeches, or right before the game, and you get out there and you're just you're ready to go out there and just tear the other guys up, whatever you're about to go do. Well, Jude, the way the Bible is arranged, he's kind of given the pep talk before the end. Because the next book is the Revelation, and there's the end. Now, the good news, and I'm going to spoil the end of the sermon a little bit, the end turns out just fine for us that believe in Jesus Christ. Turns out good for us. But Jude wanted to write a good news book to his recipients. He wanted to talk about the common faith that they had. But because of things that were happening, Jude had to write about common enemies that the recipients of his letter had. I think a lot of times in our churches, we need to remember and remind ourselves we're on the same team. We have a common faith, and we also have common enemies. Let's be on the same team, okay? Even if it's a different denomination, okay? We're on the same team. That's what Jude is writing. He's trying to give his recipients a pep talk to set the stage for the end, because the end is coming. Do you believe Jesus will return? That's coming. Sooner than later. I can stand up here today, and I would never give a date for it. That's dangerous and scary and blasphemy and all of those things. But I can say with 100% confidence that the return of the Lord Jesus is closer today than it ever has been. Okay, now I know that's not really stepping out there on faith too much, but that's true. It is closer today than it ever has been. My whole life growing up in a Bible teaching church, a conservative evangelical church, I've heard from being a youngster that it could be any day. Okay? Whether it's tomorrow, whether it's 10,000 years from now, he's coming back. Okay? Now today we call this message, God is Able. And I don't have a typical three-point sermon, 3 points in a poem, you know, with alliteration and all those things just perfectly. But what I want to do this morning, and really just fairly quickly, to be honest, is read 7 verses from the New Testament that talk about God's ability. What are you able to do? Think about what on earth are you the best at? Whether it be whatever business you're in, some hobby, some skill that you may have. Why are you capable of doing that at a fairly high level? Would you be able this morning, how many of you are sitting in the seats this morning and consciously thinking to yourself about breathing? Or does it come naturally? Does God make sure that right now that all of us are breathing without us even having to think about it? I know the brain and the lungs and all that play a role in it, but who created the brains? Who created the lungs that make those things happen? The heart. God created all of those things. In our universe, it's massive, okay? We're sending things out and getting high-definition pictures back from space, from the surface of Mars. It fascinates me, the fact that we can launch something from here while we rotate and spin and all of those things and throw it on something else that rotates and spin way out there in the middle of nowhere, and it can send pictures back to us. You know, not a speck of dust blows on Mars that God doesn't know about. Not one. What does God not know? What is God incapable of doing? Now, the New Testament says God cannot lie. Okay? So that's it. God, everything else, God has the capability, the power, and the capacity to do. So let's read this. This is, if you want to follow along, you can. I might burn through these kind of fast, so get your Bible drill thumbs ready. But the first statement I want to read, or the first verse, is Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, verse 25. Now, this is not an exhaustive list of the things God is able to do, but just 7 verses. Romans 6, 25 says, "Now to him who is able to establish you by the gospel and the proclamation of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery hidden for long ages past." Now to him who is able to establish you by the gospel. Who? Yes. I wrote it down wrong. I waited till my last day to make it to be blasphemous. I don't know what verse it is in. I wrote it down wrong on my thing. Trust me that's in there. When y'all started yelling my name, I was like, what just happened? You know, I wrote down the wrong verse there. The wrong address anyway. Okay, is it 16? 6:16? Let me read it. No, 16:25. Okay, I knew, there we go. Thank you. At least I know you're not, you know, just following along and whatever I say you take for as gospel truth. Okay, 16:25. "Now to him who is able to strengthen you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for long ages. All right, now to him, that's God who is able to strengthen you. The version I wrote down says establish you according to his gospel. Who then holds us, and we'll find this again in one of these other verses. Hopefully I wrote those passages down correctly. But who then holds us? Who then is our provider of strength? Who has established us? Who has strengthened us? It's God. Remember the analogy we've used a couple times here, and pretty appropriate for the last couple days here in Clovis. If Green Acres Lake were to freeze over, and I were to walk out onto that lake, and the ice is just barely this thick, is that going to hold me? No, I'm a big guy. That's not going to hold me. But what if the ice is just that thick and I say, you know what? I have 1,000% faith that this ice will hold me. Will that ice hold me at that point? No. What if the ice then is, I don't know how deep the lake is there. What if the ice was several feet deep? And I walk out there and I'm nervous. I don't have faith that it's going to hold me. But will that amount of ice hold me? So what's more important? The amount of faith that we have, or the object in which our faith is placed? Does that make sense? How big is God? Even when you waver, you know what? Let's be honest. Sometimes as Christians, we don't want to be honest with one another, and we want to say that we've never had periods of doubt in our life. That's false, okay? If you've been a Christian very long at all, you've had some periods of doubt. But even in those times, who is strengthening you? Who is establishing you? The ice is still thick, because our faith, even though it may be small at times, is still placed in the God who's capable of everything. Now let's try 2 Corinthians 9:8. Hopefully this is the correct one. I wrote them down to save myself some steps, and I should have just gone through the Bible here as we did it. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. God is able to make all grace abound to you. How much grace? All of it. So that in how many things? All things. At all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. So the one who establishes you, strengthens you, also gives you all the grace. How much grace did it take for you to be saved, for you to be forgiven of your sin? All of it. Y'all know my testimony. I was a goody two-shoes kid growing up. Grew up in church. Didn't talk back to my mom. There was a lot of things that I didn't do. And then by the world standards, I was certainly a good kid. But when I came to know Christ, personally as a 17-year-old, I needed all of the grace. Not just a little bit because I was a good kid. That's works-based. We don't believe in that garbage at all. There is no such thing in the Bible as works-based Christianity. Okay, or works-based salvation. It just simply does not happen. We needed all the grace so that we, in all things, at all times, having all that we need, will abound in every good work. So was that correct? That was 2 Corinthians 9:8 for those of you. Okay. 1 for 2 so far. It's a pretty good batting average. All right. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. I like this one. This is one that I need to put on the doorpost or something. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we all ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. We just asked the question a few minutes ago, what is God capable of doing? He's capable of all kinds of things. To him, the Lord God, who is able to do immeasurably more than we all ask or imagine. How many times as Christians are we guilty of making God too small? How many times we confine him to a little box? God, I know you're good, but you're only this good. Or God, I know that you can really come through in this, but only so far. What does Ephesians 3 say? He can do way more than you can ask. He can do immeasurably more than you can ask or imagine. Now, I have a good imagination. And the Bible tells us here that God can do more than that. So are you like me? You don't have to confess this morning. We believe in the priesthood of believers. You can talk to God directly. But how many of you are guilty as I am this morning of sometimes having a small imagination when it comes to the things of God? I'm that way. And I need to ask the Lord for forgiveness of that. I have made Him too small. It's a good one to remember. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. Paul says here to Timothy, "That is why I am suffering as I am, yet I am not ashamed, because I know whom I have believed and am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him for that day." He is able to guard what I have entrusted to him for that day. What have, as Christians, what have we entrusted to God? I've entrusted my literal eternity to him. I've given him that. I hope there are things here on earth that I've given to him as well, but I have given him all power to determine my eternity. And I believe his word, and I believe that I've been forgiven of my sins, and because Jesus died on the cross and shed blood that covers all my sins, and then also is resurrected from the dead so that he has dominion over death, I believe that I'll live again even after this body dies. Paul says here to Timothy in 2 Timothy 1:12, he says what? He is able to guard what I have entrusted to him for that day. So then, who has now the responsibility to keep us forgiven, to keep us redeemed, and to keep us saved? God does. What if it was your responsibility? Can you handle that responsibility as a human being? You cannot. We've quoted it 1,000 times here. If you could lose your salvation, you would. All of us. We would fill the altars every Sunday, I hope, and people getting born again, okay, every time. But it is God who holds us. Has God, in the history of humanity, in the history of salvation, has God let go of one person? Not once. Again, some have great faith, some have little faith, but what's important is in whom the faith is placed. If it's placed in God, you're secure, secure forever, no doubt in my mind. Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 18. See, we're doing good. I've gotten the rest of these correct, I guess. Or y'all are giving me a lot of grace this morning and letting it slide. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 18. I love the book of Hebrews. It says, chapter 2, verse 18 says, "Because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted." Now, this is talking about Jesus. Sometimes we don't like to think about Jesus being tempted because we know that Jesus lived his whole life sinless and without sin. But Hebrews says he was tempted in every way that you and I are, yet without sin. So if you have certain temptations, and let's be honest with one another, there are a lot of things that I'm not tempted by. Robbing a bank. Remember when they shot the movie here, was it last summer? I watched that guy run out of the building down here on the corner 56 times when they were shooting that scene of him robbing that bank right there. I have no desire to rob a bank. Not all sin is appealing to me, but you know what? All of us have a handful of sins that are very appealing to us. And we need to take those to the Lord. And you know what? When we go to the Lord, it's not like he's somebody that doesn't understand. The Bible says he was tempted in all ways. He knows what it's like to be tempted by those things, and he did it without sin. We have a high priest who knows what it's like to be you. Isn't that good news? He knows what it's like. That's why one of the reasons I believe church is so important and such a vital part of our relationship. There are many of you that really parallel and line up with my story, with my testimony. There are many of you that didn't grow up in church. There are many of you that came to know Jesus at a later age, and you didn't really know anything about church or the Bible until you were already an adult. We're friends, we love each other, but let's be honest, there's a little bit of a communication gap in there in our testimonies because we don't really have the same experience. That's why it's good when we all come together. You know what? There is somebody in this room today that knows a lot what it's like to be you. The best news is that Jesus absolutely knows what it's like to be you. He was tempted in every way. And then the seventh and the final God is able statement this morning is still in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. Hebrews 7, 25. Another good one here. Therefore, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them. God is able, Jesus is able to save us completely, those of us who come to God through his name. Maybe this morning, I assume many times that most of the people that would enter the door of a church on a Sunday morning when it's sort of chilly outside, that all of us know the Lord Jesus personally. But you know what? Maybe you don't. And if you don't this morning, today's a good day to come to know the Lord Jesus. I pray that if you don't, maybe this morning you don't and you really don't care much about it, I pray that the Holy Spirit convicts you of that. The Bible says it's the Holy Spirit's job to do that. It's our job to be faithful and to share these things and to tell you about Jesus. But it's the power of God, it's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. And if the Lord hadn't convicted me heavily as a teenager, I don't know if I'd be a Christian today. And when I say heavily, you've heard me talk about it, I could physically feel it. In my chest. Almost like he was stepping on me. And you can interpret that as being mean and cruel, but he did it out of goodness. Because he knew. That's what I needed to break my pride and accept him as my Savior. He is able to save you completely. In human terms, you can be the worst of the worst, and he's able to save you. Goody two-shoes or not, you need Jesus. He is able, and only he is able to save you. That's why Jude, let's go back to our initial text, the book of Jude, verse 24, let's read these two again. Remember, this is the pep talk before the end, the pep talk before Revelation. Verse 24 says, now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, and now and forever. Amen. This pep talk that he gives his readers, Jude, what does he tell them? You and I are in trouble outside of knowing Jesus. But knowing Jesus, you and I know as Christians that at the end, this thing turns out just fine. We win in the end. So even though it was dark and Jude said, this is a bad news book, I want to talk about common faith, but instead I have to write about common enemies, Jude turns it around and says, but we know Jesus. We will be fine. All authority is his. All the majesty is his. God can do what we cannot. He will keep you standing because you will falter on your own. It's about him. All this is his. And if we're close to the end, then so be it. We win. We win. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you today for your goodness to us. God, you have done immeasurably more than I could even imagine in my own life. Lord, and forgive me when I stumble at that. Forgive me when I question your goodness. Forgive me when I question your leadership and your providence and all of those things. But Lord, this morning we rejoice in the fact that we know Jesus Christ as believers. God, if there's anybody again in here that does not know you, I pray that today is the day that they come to know Jesus as their Savior. Lord, that you would make it clear to them. I don't believe that you are a God of confusion and chaos, but instead you are a God of clarity, and you will make known to them the right path. I pray that happens today. Lord, we know that through the struggles, and maybe in the first half we got kicked around a little bit, but we know in the end we come out victorious because of Jesus Christ. All of this is about Him and not about us. Keep our focus on Him. God, I pray that we seek first the kingdom of God, and then we'll take all the other things added to us later.
We'd love for you to join us at Highland Baptist Church in Clovis, New Mexico, Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. Thank you for listening.
For more audio sermons, visit us on the web at highlandclovis.com.